Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
We're starting on episode 119 of the Talking Hockey Podcast because me and Martin are tired of waiting. So it's just us two. Luke decided to go to a Jays game tonight, and he let us know at about 5 o'clock he was going. Eric said, I'll be ready at 6:30, or I'll be good anytime after 6.
And it's 7:10, and he's still saying he's not good.
Yep. Not so, the best. So you know what? We got things to do. Me and Martin can't sit around all day waiting for Eric.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Talking Hockey Podcast. It's your favorite producer, Luke, here to remind you to follow and subscribe on whatever streaming service you use. Leave a review on Apple, visit our website, talkinghockeypodcast.com, and follow us on Instagram at Talking Hockey for daily content. Now, let's get into today's episode with your favorite group of guys, Luke, Eric, Ty, and Martin.
Eric was in last week. We didn't have an episode because Eric went to Vancouver. And the other part of the story here to roast Eric now, who's not here to defend himself, is he went to visit a friend of his who really enjoys hiking and climbing mountains and stuff in BC. And Eric doesn't.
Yeah, Eric's not so good at the hikes. I got funny stories, snaps of Eric struggling up some hills. And yeah.
You know, Eric has little legs. Jeremy doesn't have little legs.
Little legs should help you in a hike, to be honest. As long as they're little tree trunks.
I think that this taught Eric he's not an outdoorsy man.
No.
He's gonna leave that for the white people.
Yes. Eric's Toronto man's. Through.
Toronto man's walk on the Harborfront Trail. That's it.
One of the funniest Toronto man story is Eric brought his truly Toronto friends, you know them, I won't mention names, to a cottage with us, and they decided to go kayaking. And everyone's like, guys, like, it's super wavy out there, it's super windy, like, don't do it. It's a really bad call. You won't make it anywhere. You're not, like, you might be good swimmers, but you're not prepared for a lake in the state that it's in. And these guys went out. They went 10 meters. They got blown back into the shore. And everybody had to help take in their kayak from the fucking water because it flipped over. They couldn't get it unflipped. And it was just sunk, basically. And yeah, so that's Toronto man's in the wild. And we weren't even in the wild. We were in fucking Skoka.
Like, yeah, that's, well, I don't expect anything else.
Yes.
So, it's just us two. So, we're going to talk a little bit about, I guess the big thing that happened last week was Matthew Tkachuk getting traded. A couple other things, you know, we could talk a little bit about free agency here, but well, how do you feel about the trade for Matthew Tkachuk? I have my thoughts. So to those who don't know, Matthew Tkachuk traded for Jonathan Huberdeau to Florida for Jonathan Huberdeau, Mackenzie Weegar, first round pick, and a prospect.
I feel I like a lot of people are justifying it for Florida. I still feel like it was a lot to give up. Like, I still right. feel like it was quite a bit to give up for a guy that you're replacing Jonathan Huberdeau with, basically.
Yeah.
And then who you're replacing Mackenzie Weegar with, like, no one.
No one. Yeah.
Which is concerning.
Yeah.
So they need to do something else to make this trade look better, because that contract's good. Like, Tkachuk is obviously a fucking great player. He'll probably perform really well with Barkov. Like, it, like,
yeah,
what they got wasn't bad. It just was a lot to give up. Like, that Cole Schwinn might be nothing, might be a third, like a bottom, yeah, bottom pair, bottom six guy,
yeah,
which is nothing to sniff at. Then a first round, which is
Florida gave up another one. That, I yes. think that's where you got to consider, like,
yes,
Florida is all in. They have no first round pick, yes, I think, until like 2026.
Yes.
And they have one second round pick. They've, and what they've spent it on last year, Claude Giroux, okay, that was a good pickup, I think. They didn't go as far as they wanted, but Claude Giroux was a good pickup. But then spending another one on Ben Chiarot, you know, and like, just looking at the moves that they've made is kind of like, what the heck is going on here?
Ben Chiarot, right, was a questionable one.
Yeah. And they decided to go out. They had, were having a historic season. And I mean, part of it, I think I discussed it, was like, they were kind of, they beat up really bad teams. And when they played teams that were good, they didn't win, or won in 3-on-3 overtime.
You guys emphasized this. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, Washington gave them more of a struggle than I think anyone expected in the playoffs. And then Tampa just smoked them out of the water. And they've traded everything. No picks to really go off of.
And they've kind of stayed
they're
all lateral moves.
Yeah. And I think, okay, so Tkachuk, for 8 years in his prime, he's, what, 23, 24 years old.
Yeah.
You're getting him for 8 years till he's 32. He brings a cycle. A part of their offense was, like, you know, missing a player like him in the cycle. He has good defensive impacts that might help, you know, limit the loss of Weegar. I mean, it's kind of hard to compare forward to a defenseman there, but,
yes,
you know, they just got one piece back. They traded away two players who had 1 year remaining on their deal, probably priced themselves out of being able to play, both of them at least, to play in Florida.
Yes.
Weegar is a huge loss for their D. I mean, he was good. He got exposed against Tampa, I think, twice last year and this year. They kind of exposed his weaknesses there. He's a good player, though. Huberdeau, probably on his next contract, was going to be hugely overpaid.
Way, you know, overpaid.
It's like, not going to age well.
Great player,
so,
but
yes, right,
overpaid as fuck.
This is Martin, who loved Huberdeau as the top five player in the league last year.
Unfortunately, for Huberdeau, he's one of those classic cases where, like, he got really good on the current contract, which was undervalued, and then
right,
he'll be
a free agent. Yeah, and he'll probably go off this year again. I mean, who knows? Actually, Calgary's a bit of a mess.
Calgary's
up front. Yeah.
Yeah. Oof. It's
trade. Scary. Yeah. It's a trade where both teams kind of got worse almost, right? Like, Florida gets a good player, but they traded two good players back. And then Calgary trades probably their best player and gets two players back on 1 year deal.
But he wasn't signing. Like, the key is there, he wasn't signing. So Florida kind of gets raked harder because they gave up a lot to get a guy that wasn't going to play there anymore. Like,
I think when a player of his caliber becomes available, that they had to swoop in,
especially RFA, because
right,
Calgary would still have him under control, I believe. No,
right,
would they?
Well, it was a sign and trade, basically. I think, yes, so. Yeah, they would have had like a year or two, maybe.
That is also what helped with that, because Calgary signed him right for that eighth
right
year. So I feel like that definitely upped the value.
Right. And I think, yeah, yeah. But if they, Calgary looks better in this trade, like, because I look at that team, they lost their two best players.
Yes.
Right.
in the span of like 2 weeks.
Right.
Yes.
They lost Goudreau. They lost.
And anyone saying they should have traded Goudreau at trade deadline or like
imagine that,
asset, like fuck, stupid, dumb.
Yeah.
Move on.
That was their. It's crazy because they were looking really good last year.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Out of 100%. Nowhere, after being kind of middling for the past 2 or 3 years, right? Kind of not good, not great.
The year before.
Yeah, exactly. And then the year before, they kind of snuck into the playoffs, the bubble playoffs, and they weren't a good team, but they weren't a bad team. And the year they were actually very good and everything clicked this year, they got blown out by Edmonton.
The very good thing for Calgary is, as Eric said in his stories and stuff, is Calgary definitely was in a blow up. They could have been easily in a blow up phase, and they still, in my opinion, I think should be. And they have two very good pieces for a blow up, like Jonathan Huberdeau, trading him at the deadline. Holy crap, that's a lot of return.
Right.
I'm not saying they're doing that 100%, but like,
yeah. That's especially when you, yeah, if they do that, that's what I was kind of saying. If they do that, they look a lot better. Yes. They trade, they get multiple first round picks or prospects for those guys trading them. Because, I mean, you still look at the West, it's pretty open. Right. Yes. That division is wide open.
And you got first out of Florida.
Who could, like, yeah, with, I mean, like, yeah.
With all this return, and you got first. Because who knows what Huberdeau will do, like Huberdeau and Lindholm out there could get 100 points
without together. Without, well, I mean, they're missing their shooter, right? I mean, like Tkachuk or, you know, I mean.
Yep, and they have no shooter coming up.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's concerning.
I don't know. It's like they're missing, like their D is good. Tanev has been crazy good. Hanifin is good. Markstrom and net probably will be, you know, very good again. Top five goalie in the league.
Yep.
But, I mean, outside that of Anderson, that, dude. Yeah, outside you of that.
It. Yeah, it's a little concerning. It's a little concerning. Who knows, though?
So my eyes.
But they're in a weak division anyway.
They're in a very weak division. So who knows if they might win games and they might make the playoffs and they'll be like, you know what, we can't trade Huberdeau. Even though he probably, I look at him and I think there's no way he signs there long term. I look at Uyghur, I think there's also probably no way he signs there long term.
I would say Uyghur's more likely.
More likely, yeah.
But yeah, neither should want to, in my opinion, because Calgary's in drop off phase. Because who knows how long Markstrom can hold up, and he's still, three or 4 years.
And like I said, like Huberdeau's contract is probably going to be 8 years no matter where it is, and it's not going to age well at all. Like, that's what we need to consider here as well. Like, he's going to be in his mid-30s probably by the time that contract's over.
They shouldn't want to sign him.
He had a career year last year. It's tough. I mean, it was kind of out of the blue. I remember seeing it was like Friday at like 10:30. This trade came out, and I mean, he was going to be moved, and then it was just like, wow. I think that's probably one of the biggest trades we've ever seen, considering the caliber of players that have moved and were traded, especially in the salary cap world. Well, pretty crazy.
That's a huge trade. Like, it's massive.
Multiple NHL pieces going. Usually you see like a trade where it's like, you know, a good player getting traded for a whole bunch of picks and prospects, but these are like legitimate players in return. Yeah. So Calgary can compete next year still. They're worse. Much the same way Florida can compete next year, but they're worse.
It feels like a very owner-centric trade. Because if I was Calgary and losing Goudreau, I would have tried to maximize future assets for Matthew Tkachuk. But what Calgary did was maximize current productive assets for Tkachuk, which is what an owner would really like, because it still makes you competitive. It still brings in revenue because you're still getting fans that like the team, that want to show up because you still have a hope. But if I was there, I would have been like, fuck it, Tkachuk out, bring in a bunch of picks, bunch of young prospects, and go from there.
You would rather that than hoping to get someone to kind of like, I mean, like they can, this is why I'm saying they did it though, because they can still compete next year and their window was never that big, right? No. Like their
window was quite like a flash in the pan. It was
right. Especially considering like, yeah, losing, if they re-signed Goodrow, who knows, maybe it's different, but
yes,
he didn't, and he was never going to sign. And I think that this, well, I don't know. I think they still make the playoffs next year with this team, but should they? Would it not be smarter to, if they're, you know, in a playoff spot next year, but they look at it realistically and say, you know what, we're not beating Colorado again. We're not beating, you know, whoever Vegas might step up next year. Just trade people. I think an example of this where a team ended up getting better.
Is this allowed?
I think this is allowed.
I don't think this is allowed, guys.
Well, we'll figure it out. You know what? Luke can figure it out. We're talking about Matthew Tkachuk. We gave our opinions on it. I was kind of saying like, we think that both teams kind of lost that trade. I expressed this in our chat. But you know, what I was trying to say is like, would it not be smart for them, even if Calgary is in a playoff spot next year? You know, let's say around the trade deadline, they're in second or third place in the division. They're probably going to make the playoffs because the Pacific is so wide open. But should they not look at the team, kind of like, I think St. Louis is an example of it, where they traded David Perron. They were in a playoff spot, traded away David Perron, I think, or Paul Stastny, sorry. Paul Stastny was the one.
Yeah.
They traded him, got a pick back for it. They tore it down right before the playoffs, and the players were pissed. But now look at them. They're in a much better spot than they would have been had they kept him. Right. Yep,
that was ballsy on their part. I don't even know if I'm going to be able to be heard, to be honest, because I feel like this isn't a thing that works. But
I think it is. I think it is.
I don't know. Your thing's showing up at the bottom.
Your thing's showing up. It's recording. We're good. Okay. So
like, that's a good sign.
And here's Eric. Eric came back from Vancouver specifically for this, climbed up some mountains, heard some stories about him climbing the mountains and how much he enjoyed it, and will definitely do it again. He's a big outdoorsy guy.
Again. Yeah, it was great. Hanging with the white people, you know?
So
doing white people things.
Me and Martin shared our thoughts on the trade. What are your thoughts on the trade, Eric?
And now we'll be back after a word from our sponsors.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
And now we'll get back into the show.
I mean, I agree with the 20 seconds of stuff I heard you say. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know Calgary is going to try to extend Uyghur and Huberto, but I also know that they shouldn't and right. That they should rebuild. I think they should. They have probably the second best defense core in the NHL now. Tanev, Chuenton, Anderson.
Hanifin has been pretty
Uyghur. Good. Hanifin's really improved under
Sutter.
So, you know, their top five is really defensemen are basically all guys that can play on the top pair or in the top four.
Which you don't really need.
Which you don't need. Yeah, you 100% don't need. And then they have like Zadorov and Valimaki who can probably play bottom pairing. So they have too many top four guys right now, in my opinion. Our top pairing guys, I think they should be moving one of those guys for a forward if they're trying to be competitive. Because teams with tons of really good defensive depth but have no offense are typically not very good teams. It's it's much easier to defend than it is to be good offensively. And I think Florida, despite bringing in Huberto, is really going to struggle with that. They basically replaced Goudreau and Tkachuk with Huberto. And that's not the same. Like, Goudreau, I think, is better than Huberto, or at least equivalent, or as close as possible as they can be. I still think Goudreau's a little bit better. And Tkachuk's very, very good. So they lost two stars and brought back one in.
And Tkachuk's way different. Like, way different.
Yeah, completely different style. Huberto and Goudreau are, like, as similar as players as you can get. Like, just elite passers. Goudreau's better.
Just
better
Huberto's bigger.
Yeah, bigger. I think Goudreau had Tribe's play a little bit better, but regardless, like, you know, they're both very, very extremely similar players. But, you know, Calgary last year without Tkachuk was not as good of a team, and they're basically going into next season with a better defense, but defense was never their issue. They can't rely on internal improvements because they don't really have any, like, young prospect guys that are really going to make huge impacts next season. So it's not like they can offshoot the loss of Tkachuk with improvements from other guys like Mangiapane, Dylan Dubé. Like, those guys are what they are now at this point. They're not going to get much better.
Which is, they're not bad players, but they're not like
100-point guys. They're very good. You know, my love for Mangiapane is well known, but they're not going to get better than
they are. And they're defense-centric players like Lindholm, Mangiapane.
Yeah. Exactly. They don't have they lost their two best scorers, and yes, they brought in Huberto, but Huberto is also
very one-dimensional.
He's very one-dimensional, awful defensively. Suter will probably help improve that in his system. But I just don't see how they stay competitive. Like, they just don't have an offense anymore with Tkachuk gone. And Lindholm's only going to regress, in my opinion. I don't think he's as good as what he was. And then if they extend Huberto, they're going to have to give that guy Panarin
a lot
of contract, right?
And it's not going to age well at all. Yeah. I
think Panarin's at $11.5 million a year. Why would Huberto ask for anything less? You know what I mean? Right? So Huberto is going to get 10 plus easily. Maybe, you know, all these rumors about him wanting to go to Montreal, maybe he takes like $1 million discount or something and takes 10.5, but he's going to get 10 over 10. Like, I can't see a world where he doesn't. So, and Calgary really shouldn't be giving a 29-year-old that kind of contract. Neither should Montreal, to be honest, but that's besides
It's going to age very, very poorly.
Yeah. I mean, Panarin's deal's already starting to not look very good. Like, Panarin last year was good, but he wasn't $11.5 million.
Oh, and he sucked. Like, he was a detriment in the playoffs almost. Like,
yeah, he wasn't very good, and, you know, it's similar to all the older guys that get those deals, right? Tavares isn't worth $11.5 million anymore.
But at the beginning, he was.
Year anymore. Kopitar
at the
still
beginning,
is.
They were. Yeah.
Yeah, at the beginning. So the first 2 years, and maybe that's what Calgary is hoping for. They're going to extend their run for another 2 years. But if they extend their run another 2 years, a lot of those guys aren't going to be as valuable trade chips as they are right now. So it's either they pull as New York, St. Louis, and yes, they can make the playoffs if they want to, but they're probably not a cup contender. Or they tear it all down and rebuild and become a cop. Like, they have so many assets. They can 100% get like 8 first-round picks for next year, quite literally, with the guys that they have.
Yeah, before you came on, I said the move was a very owner-centric move. Like, getting
it was.
Uber, like, because it makes them competitive, but it doesn't make them.
It's sell tickets like, without. Yeah. Bottoming, exactly. Bottoming out.
After losing two of your franchise players, yeah.
Because Huberto is a I feel like in a Calgary market will be a jersey seller because he was projected first line Team Canada. Like, that's a pretty big deal in a Canadian market. Like,
he's a great player.
Exactly.
Like, so if you look at their team right now, like, Huberto 1 year left, Backlund 2 years left, Lucic 1 year left. So they're getting some cap space. And then a bunch of their defensemen, UFAs, and, you know, Tanev in 2 years, Uyghur in 1 year, Hanifin in 2 years. So this is like the prime time to rebuild and sell all these guys, or they just have to go all in for the next 2 years. And then their rebuild is going to be painful and ass for like 5-6. It's going to be a long rebuild after. So, you know, I don't think there's necessarily a right thing. It's just
That Florida pick could be pretty nice because it's 2 years in the future.
And Florida's fucked. I mean, I think this is not talked about enough. Like, Florida has nothing.
It's 3 years in the future. It's 2026, isn't it?
2025.
I thought it was 2026 first rounder. Or no,
that's when their next one is.
No, I think it's 2025. But if they're in the top 10, then it moves to 2026. I think that's what it is.
That's insane.
Yeah. Lottery protected.
Yeah. So anyways, right now, like if they decided to say fucking rebuild, Coleman could grab probably not a lot anymore, but he's on it. Still not a bad deal. Lindholm could grab easily a first and a prospect, especially based off of last year. Dylan Dubé.
Especially at that contract.
Yeah. Huberto, if they trade him here, they can bring in like a prospect and a first. Mangiapane, I know you don't need to trade him, but like he's right outside to rebuild if they do. So you can trade him for a first. Like Hanifin, Anderson, Chris Tanev, Mackenzie Uyghur, all those guys can go for equivalent value of first rounders or more. For sure. So that, like, their rebuild would be so easy to do if they just tore it all down right now. Whereas if they wait 2 seasons, they'll have some bad money on the books with Huberto and a couple others, and they won't have any assets to trade for futures. So, if it's really important for them in the near future to maximize their, market price with tickets and everything, then do it. But right now is the best.
Which it might be. Like, who knows what this Calgary owner's looking at after COVID? Like, maybe he's like, fucking need to sell tickets. Let's get the tickets done.
Yeah. I think that it's not talked about enough is like how Florida has literally no prospects, no picks for the next 4 years.
This is Florida's time though. Like, this is,
but is it really what they spent it on last year after having a historic season? They spent it on Ben Chiarot.
That's
not here nor there. Like,
Drew wasn't bad, but
them spending picks poorly isn't what's at fault. Like, not at fault, but like what's at question here? It's whether they're in the window, and they are. And because Barkov is aging,
Barkov's 26, Reinhardt's 26, Bennett's 26.
Like, they're in their window.
Duclair's 26, Ekblad's 26, Forsling's 26, Kachuk's 24. Knight and Lundell are only going to get better, 21 and 20 years old. Lundell looks sick, right? So this is their window. They just don't have their issue, like Florida's issue moving away from Calgary, is that their defense is so bad now without
Reader. Right.
It's going to be atrocious. Like, they need to fix that somehow. Like, it's going to be so bad.
They have no assets to trade now.
Well, they'll have to trade a forward, right? It'll look like, it looks like they'll have to get rid of like Duclair or maybe even like Reinhardt or Bennett or God forbid Verhaeghe or something to get that. But they have to get a defenseman somehow because it's so bad. And on top of that, the Bobrovsky contract's really fucking them over from previous management. Like, that $10 million, oof, they could have used that.
You know what we didn't talk about? We can still speak about Calgary, but like, I think we discussed the trade for half an hour now.
Yeah.
But like, we didn't talk about, because we didn't do a podcast last week, so we didn't talk about Gaudreau signing with Columbus.
Yeah,
and
we
how
did.
Out of left, did we? Oh, we yeah, did. Yeah, that's right. We had the live react. My bad. My bad. You know what? Yeah, my bad. I apologize. Cut that out. It's still insane to me. And he's trying to defend it. He's like, what was so surprising about this? And then Columbus, they signed Patrick Laine. And then they, to get under the cap, they have to dump Oliver Bjorkstrand for literally nothing.
Awful.
Their second best player.
That was the second worst trade of the year after. It's either DeBrincat or that one. DeBrincat, at least they got some stuff, like some valuable stuff. You know, there's a first in there and a second. For Bjorkstrand, they couldn't even get a second round pick. They got a third and a fourth.
Yeah, and the reason why they were simply if they didn't just simply sign Eric Gudbranson,
they could have kept him. Literally, small contract like Corrali or something like that that's making like $2.5 million when he should be making like mid. You know what I mean? Like that, it's such a bad move. Actually, you know what? You convinced me, Ty. It's worse than the DeBrincat. Because DeBrincat, at least they got a first and second. Bjorkstrand's 90-something% of DeBrincat's impact, but
and there's got, been like, some weird contracts.
That like, Gudbranson one makes no sense.
That Gudbranson one's really bad.
That Gudbranson one's officially the worst impacting contract in the NHL right now because they lost the top line winger for nothing. Who also
did
led
you
their
see this Jonas
second in points? What
Siegenthaler? Did you see this Jonas Siegenthaler contract?
He's pretty good. He's good.
He's one of those guys that no offense, but he's like the best one of the best defensive
and good puck. Good puck mover on that team. So could age well, but I don't think that's bad. Like Eric Gudbranson is literally bad. He's a guy who's like almost out of the league.
Like should barely be in the NHL, and if he is in the NHL, it should be like 12 minutes a night, like every once in a while when they have to play him as a seventh.
Is he not 12 minutes a night? Like
they gave him 4 years at $4 million. They're expecting him to.
They cannot play him 12 minutes.
He's probably playing with Werenski.
But isn't that what he's done like most of his career before this? Wasn't he getting
he was playing like 15 minutes? Yeah.
Yeah. Didn't Ottawa give him up? Like on waivers, like
I think so. Yeah, it's like it makes it so much worse because it's like he's on waivers. You could have got him for free, and like he could have accepted like a league mint deal. Like I don't understand how you give him $4 million. It doesn't make any sense. Like
that's literally
is the best agent in the NHL. Must be
maybe they had to do that because I think him and I saw Johnny Gaudreau was like at a wedding with him or something like that a couple weeks ago.
Gaudreau is like, good friend. It sounds so maybe like he's that's good why. Buddies with him. So I think it was a big ticket, big selling feature to get him to Columbus.
Yeah, but I feel like they could have like was there another team that was going to give him $3 million? Like why not $3 million?
why do you have to come in so hard at 4 years too? Like it's $4.54.
And plus, I don't want Gaudreau on my team if I have to sign. No offense to Gaudreau, I don't want Gaudreau on my team if I have to sign Gudbranson for 4 years at $4 million.
At 30 years old too, like
you have Gaudreau and Gudbranson together totaling what is that $15 million almost right on the cap,
right?
Or you can have Bjorkstrand for the next whatever 4 or 5 years at like $5 million.
Yes,
I'll take that every day. I love Gaudreau. I think he's one of the best, you know, top 5, top 10 winger in the NHL. Amazing. Bjorkstrand's a top 20-25 winger. it's unbelievable. Yes.
It's all bad.
I don't know what's the GM's name? Jarmo Kekalainen. I don't know what
he's an interesting guy, man. Like, I'm surprised he hasn't been fired.
I said it all the time. Like, that's a move anybody else in the world would get fired for. like imagine in your job, you sell something that's worth like $1 million and you sell it for like $20. That's what he just did. That's literally what he just did. Like a third of a pick, he's not gonna get shit out of that.
It's like Elaine eating her boss's $20,000 cake.
Yeah. No, it's like a lady crashing their boss's $150,000 car with no insurance on it. Like it's so bad.
Insane.
Yeah.
Oh man.
So what the next thing I wanted to say was, this is a rumor that a lot of people are saying on Twitter. probably the biggest free agent, and who was the biggest free agent from the beginning, was your boy Nazem Kadri, or second biggest, Nazem Kadri.
Yeah, what especially. The hell's going on there?
We haven't heard a word from him, and it's been, what, 2-3 weeks of free agency now?
Yeah, 2 weeks of free
agency. And there hasn't been a single word about him. What they're saying, or what a lot of people are thinking, is that he has like an under-the-table like handshake deal with a team that needs to clear cap space for him. Either Colorado or Islanders. But that's what the rumors are right now.
It'd be interesting if he went to the Islanders, because it's basically the Leafs and the Islanders switching centers. And they'll probably have to give him like $8 million plus, I'm guessing. The Islanders do sign Kadri, that's another awful move on their part. No offense. Like, I love Kadri, my favorite player in the NHL. Everyone knows this. But, he doesn't fit the Islanders' timeline. The Islanders need a rebuild. They do not need to try to extend it with another 30-year-old dude on the roster. It's not exactly their solution. I think that, he fits
I
well.
I apologize.
Way overpay.
Yeah, like, it's a way overpay.
You're paying him for a point per game year.
Yeah. And he's
when he hasn't never done that before.
And a Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
There's like, huge recency bias for sure with Kadri, because I think people forget he was not good last year. He was not good the year before. Not great the year before.
Yeah, he was like
he
a
went 50-point off this year.
Guy. Yeah. 50-point guy. And that's what
and he went off this year.
With him, which is fine. Like, that's a great player to have on your team, getting 50, maybe 60 points on your team. But that is not $8, $10 million. It's, five, six is what you would be hoping for. Yeah. And then especially because he's older now, there's going to be regression, all the usual stuff we talk about. Colorado, he fits well because Colorado has no center depth at all. Like,
and they just won the cup.
Yeah.
I
think like Colorado, yes, they're going to have to overpay him still. But I think he fits better in that team. Although with them signing like Josh Manson, I don't know how the hell they're going to fit him in, but regardless.
Yeah, they could have just not signed Manson. It would have been a lot easier. Because I think that the Islanders are rumored to have to be trading Dobson as well because they can't fit him under the cap.
Yeah, I mean, the Islanders are a complete disaster. They're going to if they lose Devin Taves and Noah Dobson because of overpaying freaking Cal Clutterbuck and
Brock Matt Nelson, Mullen, Josh Bailey,
like their whole team. Yeah, like,
everyone on that team basically. Like, that's
casual. Like
Devin Taves just played 20 plus minutes a night on one of the best.
He was traded for a second round pick, yeah.
And was traded for 2 seconds.
Like, you should fire Lou over that. Like, you should be like, Lou, time for retirement, buddy. Like, we just watched Devin Taves, who you traded for 2 seconds.
Dominate in the playoffs. By the
dominate, way. Dominate, win a Stanley Cup. You're fired. Bye-bye,
Devin
Lou.
Devin Taves was one of the top 7 best defensemen defensively in the playoffs last year.
And we didn't make the playoffs. Like, bye-bye, Lou.
Yeah.
See ya.
He also won 2 GM of the Year's awards while also having done that move. So
yes, which is just another statement at how awful NHL is.
But I think it's interesting that it's amazing how much hype was going into the offseason around Kadri getting $10 plus million and all this crap, and then nothing. Like, hasn't signed yet. Gaudreau took, a day, basically, to get done? He signed that same day, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So late in the day, I think, like, toward the end.
I do think there is something to these Twitter things, because it was always said, like, there's, like, deals for Kadri, like, and it was always, like, back up the truck for Kadri. Like, who's going to back up the truck enough? And it's going to be who's going to give him the best offer. So I still think that's a thing, and it's just him deciding which team, and he's maybe decided, and it's which team can make something happen quick enough to make room. I mean,
there's not a lot of cap space in the league.
Right, like, and it's zero. This is what happens in your
so few teams now with cap space. Like, when you go into free agency, part of the pressure and part of the leverage teams have is the fact that there isn't a lot of cap space, especially this year because of the flat cap. Like, it behooves you as a free agent to do these deals earlier because you can just completely lock.
Of course.
And I think Kadri's, unless he has some like major backroom deal with, you know, some team right now, like he's going to, I feel like he's going to get screwed out. And if he has to take like a 1 year deal because he can't get the really long term one he wants and he regresses back to 50 points, that's going to be the biggest loss of money of his career right there. You know, like I think Taylor Hall that took way too long or something, or
Taylor Hall did that a couple. Yeah. Didn't know, was it?
I can't remember who.
It wasn't Taylor Hall.
Someone. It was a big ticket guy, and then he couldn't get the long term deal that he wanted, and then he.
I think it was Taylor Hall.
Oh, it was Taylor Hall. Yeah, Buffalo.
Did
Buffalo.
That 1 year. Buffalo. At Buffalo. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it worked out for him because he ended up in Boston, where he wanted to be, and got his contract in Boston. Chilling in Boston.
But he still didn't get, you know, Taylor Hall could have gotten like a much bigger deal than that.
Yeah.
Well, we say he could have, and then do you think Kadri rejected a deal at the free agent frenzy? By all accounts, it doesn't sound like it.
I think he must have. There must have been other teams that offered him multi-year deals.
Like Arizona swept in and was like, we'll give you 10 by 7? Yeah, like.
But I mean, he probably was like, no, I don't want to go to fucking Arizona.
But he already won. Like, if that is the case, is he really screwing himself? Because maybe he's just he wants to win. And that's why, like, he truly wants to win, which is sick. Because that shows, like, he wants to win more than money.
I guess he wants to win and make good money.
Yeah, well, of course.
I'm very skeptical on him being like, oh, I'll take $4 million to fucking do this. You know, like, no. He already took a discount on his last contract.
I think if Colorado's frees up the space, he'll take a discount, but it won't be like, again, a 4 mil or whatever he's at right now. It's 4.5.
Yeah. I mean,
it'll be like an 8. It'll be like a 6, a 6 to 8 in Colorado would be my guess.
I think 8. I think because I think like people were saying he wanted like 9.5 or 10.
Yes. See, I mean, which isn't like terrible, especially if you go and win another cup, which is unreal. Like,
I feel like that's the goal. Like Landeskog, you know, like and Landeskog's at 8. I feel like Kadri's gonna have to be at 8.
Yeah. Anyway, anything else you wanted to talk about?
What have you guys talked about before I was
here? just Kachuk and
literally this. Kachuk.
We spent all this time on just
and chirping and chirping you.
Chirping you, climbing a mountain,
Climbing mountains.
Okay, time for that. What was there to chirp me about climbing mountains, man? I conquered those mountains.
I just heard you were complaining about it. Yeah.
You're just gassed.
Yeah, it was rough.
Gassed.
It was really rough. I was like, I was so amazed by how fit Becca was. Like I knew Jeremy was like fit.
Bro, Becca goes on the 100K bike rides with Jeremy.
Too. I know. She would just like be running up these mountains, no problem. And I was like 10 minutes in, fucking just sweating and dying. Anyways, I also wanted to talk about some of the free agents that were left. Like, there's still like some other guys in there, like Sonny Milano and stuff, that don't have contracts yet. And I think he fits really well with any team that's kind of savvy enough to get him at like $1.1 million probably if he isn't signed yet.
IE Leafs? Are you saying IE Leafs?
I mean, Leafs literally have no cap space though. True. They got to dump Kerf. I'm still shocked Kerfoot's on the team.
Yeah, they probably don't pay the price.
We're like midsummer, man. Like I feel like GMs still have to go on vacay at some point. Like this is dead of summer. This is zero time.
Well, I think considering that, like, considering what Bjorkstrand just went for, they're not going to get much for Kerfoot if that's what they're hoping for.
They're not going to get anything for Kerfoot. It's going to be a cap dump. Got it.
Yeah. And it's not even that Kerfoot's bad. If they need an upgrade for sure, but they can't get one.
Look what Matt Pacioretty got. They had to give away another player with them for future consideration.
Which is shocking.
Max Pacioretty for nothing? Future considerations.
Oh, I feel like that's not too shocking considering Vegas was fucked Like, yeah, Vegas.
But Vegas has been fucked for years and got out of it.
Like, but they made a trade with Carolina, who is the type to just be like, nah. The owner would be in on that one and be like, we're I'm going just jugular there's... on this bitch.
Okay, so I think we can end the episode with this point, which is that every year players get signed and they get signed for too much compared to what they should be making. And it's not just the big ticket guys that are getting paid $9, $10, $15 million. Not 15.
It's the Erica Bransons.
It's the Erica Bransons. It's the guys.
The Jonas Siegenthalers.
No, I think
you guys like.
But
man, it's 5 years
that are making $2.5 million. That Ty said was an okay deal. It's the guy. It's the Sean Crowley's making like $500,000, $1 million more than they should. It's all these bottom of the lineup guys making $2 million, $3 million, $4 million that add up, that take away your cap space. When you take away your cap space, you fuck up your team. And the smart teams, Seattle, Carolina, sometimes Tampa, if they've given out some bad, not so great contracts recently, but, you know, et cetera, et cetera. The smart teams are going to take advantage of that and take the actual players that bring value to your team because of that. Vegas screwed themselves over. You know, we talked about it before. They really didn't need to go over get Pietrangelo. They needed offense. And now because they went and got Pietrangelo, they're losing Max Pacioretty, who was arguably their best offensive player over the last two seasons or three seasons. And Vegas's core issue has always been offense, continues to be offense, and they lost him for nothing. And
Vegas's defense, I think they felt like they had, like they were definitely fucked by injuries this past year.
Yeah,
Max Pacioretty.
Plenty of reasons why they didn't do well this season.
And Pacioretty was one of the injury dudes.
Yeah.
Like he was the injury bros.
Yeah, he has been quite injured. But Carolina, they have cap space now. They didn't sign
any. Oh, Carolina fucking.
And you're able to bring in. Like, I posted this on our story. Pavel Buchnevich, Oliver Bjorkstrand, and Andre Burakovsky altogether make $15 million on the cap and are all top line wingers. And you could have got all three of those guys onto your team for $15 million. Do you know how many like teams could entirely rebuild their team off of getting those three guys in one offseason or two offseasons? Entirely possible, doable. And all those guys went for is a third round and fourth round pick, Bjorkstrand. Pavel Buchnevich went for like freaking Sammy Blais and a second round pick. So Sammy Blais barely an NHL player, fourth line guy. So basically went for a second round pick. And Burakovsky was free in free agency for $5 million. He only got $5 million for 5 years. It's a 30 goal scorer who's 27 years old. That deal goes to 32. It's not an 8-year deal where they're going to have to eat those last 3-4 years. It's a 5-year
deal. It is Seattle, deal. Though, who's.
Seattle has good wing depth. Yeah, for sure.
And Seattle has probably
they the are best interesting.
In the NHL right now. Maybe.
And they have Beniers and Shane Wright, who are so major
X-Factors. But anyways, the point is, everybody always argues with me. I always get these DMs where it's like, oh, no, that's actually a fine contract for the guy. No, it's not. It almost never is. When you pay these bottom of the lineup guys $3-4 million deals, when you shouldn't be doing it, it adds up over time and it makes you lose out on, not just lose out on good players that you want to keep, but it limits you from being able to acquire guys for basically nothing. Pacioretty, you could have a top four wingers of Pacioretty, freaking Pavel Buchnevich, Burakovsky, and who am I missing out on this? Someone else. I'm on a rant right now. You could have four top
Bjorkstrand.
Bjorkstrand,
thank you, for basically no assets. And you'd have the top four wingers in the league, basically. Instead, you have freaking Eric Goodbranson on your cap. You have Milan Lucic on your cap. You have freaking all these knobs, Derek Forbert in Boston. You have all these knobs that don't need to make that money, and that's what you do with your money instead. That's the end of my rant. People need to Thanks fucking learn their lesson. NHL GMs need to learn their lesson. They're all fucking dumb.
They don't ever.
That's all I'm saying.
And with that, thanks for listening.
Clip it, Luke.
Clip it. Is that account still active? I don't know. Alrighty. See you guys next week.
Hey, that account's been doing well, man. That's up to 29,000 followers, which is like
They were, yeah, you were down like
7,000 in like 3 weeks.
Yeah. No, it's 2,000 in 2 weeks, basically.
Okay.
Still good.
Yeah. Yeah. We're back. We're back, baby.
Back.
I thought you ended the recording.
Yeah, we're ending it now.
We're still recording.
Bye.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning into this week's episode. We love and appreciate each listener that sticks around to the end. With that comes reminders to leave a review, press follow on those streaming platforms, and make sure to head over to Instagram to follow Talking Hockey. We're on the road to 30K, and we can't wait to continue to build our audience. Luke, Eric, Ty, and Martin signing off. We'll see you all next week.